She's the natural choice. She's played these types of characters in all kinds of other movies, so she's who you would look at.
And I think the problem is that you need to have an action star actor for that, because it is a very active movie. I mean, the Major is very
active.
How well
they can actually do
their
job in the movie.
Yeah.
Can they do the stunts?
She doesn't sit around.
Someone else.
She runs around and kills people. Uh-huh. Like, that's her thing. So you can't really get someone who's not...
Are you trying to say there's no Asian martial artists? You racist.
No good ones.
Hello.
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 Hey. Is that Sock?
Hello. Can you
hear
me? I can hear you.
Level check?
I think they probably can.
Level
check.
We'll keep the loud fuckers on this side.
Level check.
I'm assuming we'll have the actual intro on this because it depends on how drunk I am.
This is the cold open.
Well, it might be.
Well, it is now because I just said it.
Here's hoping.
Hi, everybody. It's Kyle Higgin and, what's your name?
Kendrick Evans.
And, today we were gonna discuss Ghost in a Shell, and we have a few guests who have seen the movie and wanted to, or we asked to talk about it with us, so go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Aaron Shepard, you may have heard me before, maybe not.
Our biggest fan.
Has Aaron been on a podcast before?
Not a podcast, no, but other Aether Network.
Oh, that's true, that's true, that's true.
And Caitlin Roberts. I showed up on a Star Wars one before.
Yeah, we reviewed Rouge One.
Rouge One.
Rouge One.
We continue.
A Star Wars makeup story.
A makeup Star Wars story.
A made-up Star Wars story?
So, makeup or a made-up?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about Ghost in the Shell today, and I have never seen any Ghost in the Shell stuff, just to be clear about who's seen what.
Let's go down the line. So Kyle's seen nothing.
I have seen nothing besides the movie itself that Scarlett Johansson is in.
ScarJo.
ScarJohansson.
Kendrick here has only seen the first season of the TV series, the movie a billion years ago, and never read the manga, seen the second movie, or seen the second series of the... TV show.
I saw the movie several times, like in high school, so a while back. And that's it. Never watched any of the other stuff.
I've seen a couple episodes of the show, obviously the new movie, and then I read the manga a while back for graphic reviews.
Like 2 weeks ago.
So we have a very disparate...
We have weirdly not overlapping a lot.
So let's just kind of go over the history real quick. So there, I've seen movies and manga and show, and is that it? Just those three?
Oh, I can feel that one.
Yeah, okay.
So it was manga first,
okay,
in the late 80s.
So it started in the 80s. That's going to be a point for me later, is when the first instance of Ghost in the Shell came out. So is that before or after Neuromancer?
Neuromancer was like 80 or 81.
Okay, so they're around
Neuromancer.
The same time.
But it was in the 80s.
It was after.
Kind of thing.
Yeah,
it was
early
after.
Cyberpunk.
Okay, okay.
Which Gibson kind of gave birth to.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Okay. So Neuromancer was first.
Yeah. Neuromancer, I think, is credited as the first.
And then, so we got the manga.
And then in the early 90s, they made a movie, an anime movie.
Okay.
Which came over here, I want to say fairly quickly. It was in that era when we're like Macross, and, or after Macross, but like Akira and stuff, we were actually getting anime not too long after it was made, like within a few years. And then they made the standalone complex, which is the TV series.
Okay.
They may have done another run of manga, I don't remember.
They did a second one. I don't remember what year it was released, though. It was like well after a lot of the other stuff happened.
Then they did a second movie in the early 2000s, which not a lot of people, I think, saw.
Okay.
I didn't even know it was there, to be honest, until I came across it. In perfectly legal means.
Is that it?
And then they made a second series of the TV series.
So
which
different
wasn't
than
called Standalone Complex, confusingly. It was like another series, and I didn't know about that one either. So
the second gig, maybe?
Yeah, second gig.
Okay, so it sounds like the show has two instances that didn't overlap in story. The manga, does the manga overlap with the standalone
they're
complex
all,
or the movie?
They're all different.
Well,
none of them are.
Yeah, they don't. Like,
there's not one.
The show
one.
Doesn't follow exactly the manga.
Okay,
the movie.
It has similarities, but it doesn't exactly follow.
And the old movie ends in a way that I don't think could possibly lead to the show starting.
Okay, so they're not connected, and they're not that repetitious.
I think they're connected in the same way that Mad Max is connected.
Okay, fair enough. So, that the reason I wanted to know that was because a lot of my comments about this movie are going to be like based around like, you know, when everything started and how often they had to repeat the story. Like, and if it's like, oh, the manga is basically the show, and then the show is like 50% of the movie, with like, you know, 50% of the second movie is third show, and it's, but it seems like they're all pretty unique. Like, they're all fairly unique.
They're all just, I think, loosely connected within the same setting.
Yeah, I'd say loosely connected. I wouldn't go as far as unique, but
unique story arcs with like their characters.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird simulation, sorry.
It's the same cast of characters, and there's not necessarily like continuity.
There's storylines that are picked up in the show that happen in the manga. So they like piece them together, so it's not exactly the same.
Okay.
It's common for a lot of anime and manga transitions. Like a lot of times the manga will follow, it'll go, and then the anime will pick characters and stories, and it won't necessarily match it perfectly, but they'll sort of build on it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, actually, Ghost in the Shell is almost prototypical in that way, because like there's a manga, there's a movie, there's a show. They're sort of related, but it's not like you say this happened, then this happened, then this happened.
Not
it's not like Star Wars extended universe thing where you're trying to figure out where everything fits together.
And they don't necessarily like interweave either. Like the you saw this thing happen in the manga and now it's referenced in the show. It's like they're not like that.
No.
Okay.
In fact, the stories, the origin stories and the events that unfold are incompatible between several of them.
Okay. Okay.
Especially with the live action movie, it was probably the greatest departure.
So let's move into that then, since you mentioned it. So
I mean, the live action movie I think is a standalone.
Yeah. It's
its own thing. Because as far as we understand, or as far as I understand based off of other people, the origin story in that is very unique. It's like
it's
nothing,
different.
There's
it's
nothing
really
similar with any of the other Ghost in the Shell stories.
Some of the things like the Major's age changes, depending on where it was, like what age she was and is depicted as, is a little different in each of them. I think she's a little younger in the manga.
They're not real clear. At least I've only read the first one.
Right.
But they're not real clear on origins for her.
I think in the manga she's like a late teens is like what her mind is, like her brain. That's kind of what they imply
in
the
film,
movie.
Yeah.
But they don't really
pin
it down.
Explicitly stated it.
Yeah.
Like everything in the movie.
And we don't have to worry about spoilers.
Just stepping over. But then her Android body is older than that. Like she's depicted as an adult woman.
Mm-hmm.
In everything
I've seen, she definitely is.
Except for the very end of the first movie.
Right. Yeah.
And he said that was incompatible, but I mean, in theory, you can just take her and put her in another robot body. Again.
Right. Right. But I mean, in the end of the first movie, her brain is contaminated with the Puppet Master.
Yep.
And I don't remember if that's in the standalone complex. I don't think it is.
No, it's slightly different.
Yeah, like
it's
in the
not
movie
like
in the series.
Yeah, I mean, the basic element of that stays the same.
Right, because the Puppet Master
not
shows up again, but it's not like coming from her brain. It's coming from elsewhere. I have to.
So in the manga, the way they handle it is that the Puppet Master has a network, just like he does in the live-action movie.
So the live-action movie
has the enemy's called
the Puppet Master?
No, he's not the Puppet Master in the live-action movie, though.
Okay.
Right. That's something that comes from the show and from the manga.
And the manga, and in the standalone complex. See, the standalone complex, the manga, and the movie.
Okay, there's a character
Puppet Master.
At the end of the manga, she, like, loses her body somehow, but anyway, she chooses to join his network. So they basically fuse.
But that's the same network you're talking about,
so
when he's like, leave these bodies, let's go live in the network.
Right,
in the
that's
yes.
what he's
okay.
offering, and that's she takes him up on that in the movie.
And in the movie, clearly, that doesn't
In the anime movie, I don't think she gets a chance to make a choice because they kill him, and it breaks the connection, but it turns out that he downloaded into her. So she has
or at least a
ghost.
Piece.
Yeah, like, yeah, some she's got some pieces of the Puppet Master.
Kind
of
like,
in her soul.
You know, okay, yeah, no.
In
it's
going to
make a Harry Potter reference,
And
Horcruxes.
Okay, Horcruxes even.
Let's talk about their names real quick. So when we're talking about... So the main character's name is...
It was different in the movie. They kept using the wrong name in the movie.
Well, no, but that's...
Right.
Sort of... I think the movie was kind of meta in the whole whitewashing.
Yeah, I like that part, which we're going to get to that, I think. Because,
her name was something different, but then, you know, when you figure out who she was, she was... Kusanagi.
Moto.
Motoko.
Motoko. Motomaki is a sushi place. That is not
racist.
Yeah.
Major is what she's generally
typically referred to as Major.
Okay.
Or Major Kusanagi.
The Major, but usually just Major. Confusingly, like, that's her name, but it's her title. It's just that thing.
Okay.
And
so they call it a nickname.
Well, or
it's also her
rank. And I guess we should probably launch right into the whitewashing thing, actually, because that's one of the things we talked about.
Because I think we can get it out of the way real quick. Like,
I think it's worth acknowledging that they kind of, I like how they did it, to be honest. I feel like they did a good job of sort of explaining, because that whole company was fucking white people.
Well, and it also was stripping away her identity.
Exactly. It was
further. Like,
she was, you know.
She would look in the mirror and not see anything.
Yeah. And of course, they'd use a white person as their body template. Because
What do you mean the whole company was white people?
Like, I mean, like,
that's in the show, though, right? I mean, that's not...
So here's one thing. Here's one thing to remember. When you're talking about anime depictions, it's not always easy to guess at the race of the characters. They don't necessarily
draw
people...
I actually find that they're not trying to specifically...
No, they don't usually focus on it.
You can tell. Like,
dramatic.
So,
the director's very much an old Japanese dude.
But
in the anime.
Well, and the guy with the mullet, I forget his name, but her human partner that won't take any...
Bato.
Not Bato, no.
Oh, the other one?
The one with the mullet.
Oh,
he's definitely more...
He's like a total Tokyo born and raised kind of guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Bato is clearly like...
Oh, Bato's like a German.
Yeah, he's like a fucking giant German dude. But Major doesn't look like the other Asian women in the show.
I know, that's what I thought was the most weirdest part for me, where people were talking about an Asian person depicting an Asian character. I almost feel like she was specifically made to not look Asian in the show.
She sort of doesn't look like any of
the
characters.
She's an android. I don't necessarily think it's, like, they made it so she was supposed to look different. And I mean, different as a white person, but different is non-Asian, with everyone else being Asian or whatever.
Right? I don't think it's ever clear. I think it's my thing. I don't think you can definitively say she looks white or she looks Asian.
So
I think she looks somewhere in the middle, God only knows.
So let's go to, does Scarlett Johansson look like Major?
A lot of people have said yes.
But I think that might also just be the hair.
No, but that's okay. Because all
we're
talking about now is physical, like, match. Like,
yeah, no, body-wise.
I think reasonably well. I mean, obviously not exactly like her, but you could it.
Okay.
Because I was thinking the Major's being rather tall. She looks shorter because she looks like Tabato, but Bato is like 7 feet tall.
I thought
they
did a great job with her hair, because Major's hair to me is iconic, even though I don't really know a lot of it. Like, I know that. I know Major.
You recognize
her. And I know her hair and her kind of outfit. Like, they did a good job with that kind of thing for me, and it didn't make me feel like it was too weird to watch.
Although, I think she's supposed to weigh 600 pounds because she's made.
Right, because she's needed. Yeah. But
that's neither here nor there.
They had a chance, because where she's diving in the ocean, there's a very similar thing in the animated movie.
I saw that, actually.
And Bato says something about, you know, if your float belt malfunctions, you'll be stuck at the bottom forever or something like that.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of stuff to say about the dumbing down of it, but I think that the whole point of where I'm going to...
Everybody just nodded their head in the room.
Yeah, I want to get there, but I want to wrap up the whitewashing thing, is that I think that the character, the Major, was always... She always seems to be slightly towering over a lot of the other characters, like the random citizens they meet. She always seems like, maybe not head and shoulders, but she's always like a white person in Japan. You're like, I feel
that's
like
what I was just
going to
say.
You.
The way you're talking about it sounds like a non-Japanese person in Japan.
Yeah, and you're
I
don't.
You're taller than
everybody.
Like,
tall, which gives her that sense of otherness as a character. Yeah,
I can verify.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
And how I'm trying to think of specific instances, but I want to say there are times she always seems to be kind of looking down at the Japanese people around her, and it's partially because they want to make her different and other-like, and I think that ends up being vaguely Caucasian, and I don't think that she's necessarily clearly American or whatever, but she's she looks like a sort of amalgam of a lot of different races.
I think,
but not strikingly Japanese.
The nail in the coffin for me is it's a creative choice, I think. To cast someone in a movie is either creative or productive choice. And the creator has said that she did the perfect job being Major. The creator of Ghost in the Shell has said he's vouched for Scarlett Johansson as an actress or actor. I don't know what the I don't know if actresses. You're
fucked either way.
Sorry.
Straight into the skin.
As Scarlett Johansson playing Major, and I'm like, cool, that's cool for me. That's it. Boom, I'm done. Like, it's a creative choice in my decision, and the creators chose, made a decision.
Well,
like, that's it.
I think an interesting tangent in a similar way is Dark Tower with Idris Elba. Like,
which that's actually cool. More crazy for me.
Well, it's crazy. I don't know how much you know about the Dark Tower, but like in the drawing of Three, there's this huge racial tension between
massive.
Him. And,
I've heard about
one of the characters in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they're going to do
well,
that.
Well, I don't think they're ever going to get that far.
Well, there's that. I don't want to get too far in the Dark Tower, but there's
yeah,
that whole idea
yeah.
of the recycling. The cycling. So,
yeah,
like,
that's
this could
what
be one
Stephen
cycle.
King said,
of,
is like, he's
oh.
a different version.
Well,
right.
that's my opinion.
Well, no, that's Stephen King
said that. From you.
No. That's actually his official stance is that
keeps on
it's well. Always been about the cycle, so this one isn't Clint Eastwood anymore. This is now a different cowboy. All
right, so.
And that's why it was weird, because he's straight up Clint Eastwood, right? So, but.
The casting was pretty good. Everybody was cast.
I think
yeah,
Octo
a couple
was amazing.
Of those
yeah.
were really
was
good.
Perfect. And the director.
I loved the guy who played the director.
Todd, I like the
that
guy's
awesome.
Oh, Takashi or the general. I thought he was casted well as well. Like
the old.
That's another
dude
Terry I remember from that show. And that's like
yeah.
really all I remember.
Yeah, they're all hairstyles.
Aramaki, the dude with the revolver.
Yes.
Yeah,
Aramaki
he
was
perfect.
Right? I gotta say,
absolutely
so many of those characters
perfect.
Were perfect. And the fact
although,
that the director...
In the movie, isn't he like a tiny little Japanese man?
He was...
We've got that they can't handle height. They don't understand
well, okay,
what height
I
is,
just,
apparently. In this, in
well,
this
and
movie.
I also remember with just the, like,
yeah.
plume of hair.
Yeah, he had...
And I thought they did
the
RL equivalent of that with this guy.
And, like, Bato wasn't 7 feet tall. He was just 6'2".
Before
like,
he went to Yu-Gi-Oh!
Well,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm really glad they didn't take the manga approach to Aramaki.
Yeah.
He's a straight up... He looks like a monkey.
Yeah.
Not
he does,
even...
He
literally looks like a
so,
monkey.
80s comics, I mean, they did that in Dragon Ball, too. Like, in a
yeah.
lot of old, like, manga.
And
they where,
constantly
like, they drew,
refer
yeah.
to him as the ape. It's like... It's one of those where
you're
like,
you're being racist to your own race. Guys, like, come on.
So, a lot of people said that, I think, Saito, like, the sniper dude.
Saito.
He was in it, but, like,
barely.
People wanted to see more.
I want to see more of him, because I love him, because he's the guy who's like, I don't need any robot bits, I'm good. And then he had, like, two lines to that effect, but I love him for that, because he's walking around with a guy
well, those
with
were two
eyes.
Different people. Because you have Ishiwaka.
Saito was the one who had...
The one guy who was like, I don't want any robot parts, was the dude who kept getting drunk, and they were talking about his liver. Like, he was like, you don't need
yeah.
a robot liver, and he's like, whatever. But Saito was the guy at the very end. You only saw him at the end.
Or,
you only...
Oh, no, you're
like,
right, you're right. Saito was their support
yeah.
guy. Because
yeah.
he's always the guy who... He's always that, in the,
okay.
in the show, at least. He's
well,
always the guy who's like, a mile
sense.
And a half away, and you're like, how are you gonna get out of this? Boom! Thanks, Saito. It's like... He's like,
so,
no problem!
Weirdly meta cool, I guess, but people were sad to not see
like
him more.
I just like him because he's their total Deus Ex Machina pocket character who fixes shit because he's always covering them for
whatever,
a helicopter.
He's the sniper.
Speaking of which, that kind of leads me into the story. Like, so,
yeah.
my thoughts on the story, and maybe we should say this till the end, but fuck it, because I'm one of the proprietors of this podcast. I felt like it was cliche, but because I hadn't seen it before now. So, like...
Did you just call yourself a writer?
Proprietor, which
yeah.
is still
which
the wrong word. But I don't really know. It,
we're
just
going to let it slide.
You're in the stream of consciousness now. You can't
we're
get out of it.
I just wanted to interject with writer.
Yeah.
No.
We write the stuff. I don't know what you're
yeah,
doing.
I actually write
I don't know what you're fucking doing
no,
here.
I
we have everything written.
I actually write a lot when I go write the tags.
Yeah,
so I do. I'm actually the sole writer.
I thought it was cliche. Like, I'd seen the story of the, like, the robot killing the creator types thing before, and I was like, this is kind of boring for me, because... I've seen that so much, and it's not. This is the first time I've seen it from Ghost in the Shell, and so I know in the 80s this is probably really original, or in the, like that idea of like this is cool and new. But to me, it was kind of boring because I was like, I know what's going to happen. I know everything that's going to happen. This story is nothing I would want to see. It's just like so mundane to me. Like I didn't care for the story at all.
I was really frustrated by it because the thing that I really like about the manga and especially the TV show. Because I think the show does a way better job of it, is it walks this line between, like, what's human versus what's AI, and there's a whole bunch of moments in the show where the Major does something that's kind of messed up. Like, she doesn't really know where she fits on either side, and I think they simplified it. They made it this
yes.
anti-corporation thing, anti-technology thing, to make it more palatable to American audiences, but that's not what the show is. The show is so much more about, like, identity and technology and, like, so many nuanced things that they just tossed aside. So I was annoyed by that.
Directly to your point, I think that in the original usage of that those tropes and the robot takes out his creator is almost not the core aspect of it, so much as the main line they can use to write all their subtext. So it was,
but there was
like,
no subtext.
Exactly.
Like,
so
okay,
that's where they fucked
yeah
up in the movie, the newest movie, because in the original one, it was like, here's this simple story, but really there's all this other stuff going on. And then this one, they just scraped it away, and like, this is just Frankenstein again.
Well, it is and it isn't. Because, I mean, it...
The only reason I'm spoiled, we have Android Netrunner as a game that we play,
but
and to me, that world is so much more fleshed out and explored. I wanted to see a deeper dive into
because it
was
an hour and a half long.
Well,
Hollywood movie.
But there was so much more stuff, like you're saying. There was so much more subtext that could have been brought in, like besides like corporations do bad things.
I think that's hard to do in a movie, whereas the TV show and the manga both have a lot of time to explore
different
options.
But the old
movie
meant to do it.
Yeah,
so
the old movie also, one of the reasons I watched it so much is I didn't understand what the hell was going on.
You had to watch it like 6 or 7 times.
But it's a philosophical film almost. Like,
it is.
Because it's dealing more with identity and our relationship.
It's like reading
technology.
The first book in the Horus Heresy trilogy. If you're expecting something where Space Marines are just going to be murdering shit, you are in for the wrong book. Like, the first 50% of the Horus Heresy book, I don't remember what it's called, the first
Horus
one.
Heresy.
The Horus Heresy book, is a space marine coming to terms with the fact that the war is going to be over. And propaganda people journeying through the war with these soldiers. That is it. And you're like, whoa, what the fuck is this? This is not what I was expecting. So it could almost be refreshing to have... I was kind of like worried, but simultaneously expecting them to be really deep.
Well,
and they weren't. And it was like, wow.
And that's kind of the appeal of Ghost in the Shell, is that it's one of those cyberpunk stories that's super deep as far as... Like, I've read a fair amount of cyberpunk because I love it, but I don't think all that much stuff, especially new stuff, really deals with that line between man and machine as well as Ghost in the Shell does. So that's where, like, for me, the movies, I actually enjoyed the live-action movie, but it was disappointing because it felt like there was so much stuff they could have done with it, and they just go with the action man versus technology.
I want to clarify, I did not mean I didn't like the movie. I just didn't like the story. I thought it was beautiful.
I agree.
Like, all that stuff was great, but the story was, like, cliche.
I was frustrated.
It's worth noting that as of today, the release date for this was exactly 2 weeks ago. And the domestic total revenue has been $34 million. Their budget was $110 million. Their worldwide take was $131 million.
Okay.
So they're actually making money.
That's good.
It's not the U.S.
Their foreign is 3 times what the domestic was, which is really unexpected considering that this seems to be... I mean, it's a weird, since people were so worried about this being an American-centric movie, that it's making almost $100 million overseas.
Interesting.
Which is more, that's like Star Wars.
Wonder if this like story that we're seeing here, like as Americans, is just something that you don't see in other countries a lot. We're bored by it or pissed off by it.
Of like people like, what are you talking about whitewashing?
I accidentally reposted that from Milo Yoba Nova Nova.
Yeah,
Astrovich,
yeah, whatever.
And everybody started focusing on the fact that I reposted from that guy instead of what it was saying, and I was like,
yeah,
this lost focus. Completely
deleted
the post, and I was like,
no,
dealing with this shit.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. It's weird to see that, because you're so like, oh man, this is so successful, because they don't see shit like this all the time, or it's different, or it's not what they expected, or something like that.
And that's kind of what pissed me off about this movie, is like, watching it, whitewashing should not be the concern here. I mean, like, I get that you're troubled by it, but out of all of the things to talk about with this movie, what dominates conversation is the whitewashing. Like, there's a million other things that are, like... more pressing than that.
Sort of a timing problem, though, because it was just last year with the Oscars, so white stuff.
Yeah, and I feel like...
I thought Chris Rock did something crazy at the Oscars. We were talking about, like, Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. Was that not the Oscars?
It was the Screen Actors Guild.
There was, like, a response to that, and it was, like, that
heavy-handed,
like...
Yeah, well, but because of that... People pay more attention to these things.
Yeah, and that's and
it's,
last
I don't
year,
think it has anything to do with that.
No, it was last
I
year
have sympathy for it.
No, I know, but I don't think that has anything to do with like the.
No, I think you may have a point. Is that's
I
where
agree.
People start to get more sensitive to it, for better or for worse.
Really,
and where media starts covering it more.
Right.
Maybe.
Because this is kind of a dog park.
This just feels like the whole, like, war and hurt feelings thing to me. Like, where you're focusing on this thing because it's something to cry about. And that's all.
Well,
that's
I don't know. Like
that's
I've said before.
I'm done talking about that for now. For
yeah.
More,
no,
you guys
I mean,
keep going.
To
that's
be
going.
Fair, like, a lot of the Asian actors
we
do have a very good
already covered
point, so
most of this stuff with statistics and numbers.
But I mean, yeah, and it's actually kind of funny because the people getting fucked the most are
Asians
and
Hispanic.
Latinos.
Latino actors
are
the most underrepresented disproportionately.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because black people are actually the most overrepresented. But you know,
yeah. So this is why I don't want to talk about this anymore.
If you look at the racial demographics in the United States, racial demographics of Screen Actors Guild, racial demographics of ranked movies
and
award winners, it's like it's good. Black people creeping up, and they're not taking it from white people, they're taking it from Asians
and Latinos.
And this is a different problem.
Nobody's talking about these stuff.
No one's
talking
about
the fact that, you know, oh, white people get casted more than other people. And you're like, yeah, because there's like a significant more amount of white people in the United States. Like,
well, I mean, like, the thing for me is that I have sympathy for the concerns because I have the same issue with the lack of lead female characters. So I have sympathy for that, but at the same time, like, this should not be your focus, the Ghost in the Shell.
Well,
I also kind of find it...
Back to, like, she looks the part. A lot of other people just look the part.
They want to make money. They're not going to pay someone who's inadequate.
You're right. They look, the aesthetic.
Yeah,
the aesthetic
it all works.
But that all comes down to how, like, are we making the best decision for us as a movie? Like, aesthetics, acting capability, actor appeal, all this stuff is going into it. And if they could not find an Asian actor that fit all these things, then they're not going to hire an Asian actor. Like,
it'd be one thing if she was super clearly Asian, but she's not.
And that's the part where it got weird for me was that that's why they felt like a dog fart, was it was sort of like getting really mad about something that didn't make sense. Like, it would be like if people were getting really mad that The Matrix was led by the white guy instead of an Asian guy. You're like, what?
Yeah, it's
why?
Almost like you
cares?
Heard that an Asian actor was passed over for Scarlett Johansson, and that was never, ever the case. Like, no one was like, oh, this person was gonna get it, but then Scar just swooped in and took it from them. And you're like, well, no, that didn't happen. Like, they just casted them apart, right?
And I think she did a great job, to be honest.
Well, I think she was the natural choice if you're gonna make a Ghost in the Shell movie and focus on the action and not the philosophical side of it, she's the natural choice. She's played these types of characters in all kinds of other movies, so she's who you would look at.
And I think the problem is that you need to have an action star actor for that, because it is a very active movie. I mean, the major
how well
is,
they can
is very
do their
active.
Job in the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
she's
can
not,
they do the stunts?
She doesn't sit around.
Else.
She runs around and kills people.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's her thing. So you can't really get someone who's not...
Are you trying to say there's no Asian martial artists? You racist.
No good ones.
Anyway, let's move away from this song. I'm done
shift,
talking about
shift
my
into this other
I'm going to talk about
think,
visuals.
Yeah, is,
okay.
We talked about aesthetics.
God,
I want a movie
so
aesthetics.
Pretty.
I'm going to say this now. That movie was the post-Matrix Blade Runner for our generation.
It's more Blade Runner than Blade Runner 2049 that's coming out soon. And
I don't even know, but I'm just saying.
Well,
it was great.
I want to watch that movie muted and just drool at it.
Yes.
I don't even care about
yes.
anything the rest of it.
It was a perfect representation of what I wanted to see when I think of cyberpunk, because it's all based around the stuff of like what I would see if I went into like that busy world, like that world where like
so
there's just
full.
So much stuff going
so
on.
So rich.
And that's
and
why I was pissed when the story didn't go into those like little air avenues I wanted to, or like throw bones to different references and things, and I don't know.
Well, and the little things that they did, the little like cultural references that got pulled forward, like the geisha robots and like all these other things, it was such a cool idea, and it was so creepy when their faces
so
like unfolded.
And
oh
so
man,
the billboards
so cool.
transitioned into full hologram like advertisements,
and they
like,
were all weird.
And they're just everywhere.
Yeah, and they're huge. And, like,
constant.
Yeah, and the people totally distracted by technology. Like, there was even commenting in that. That was one of the story parts of the stories I did like, was the whole like outskirt city thing, where like that was the small reactionary movement to the, like the oversaturation of technology. Like, I was like, dig in more, and they're like,
no,
nah, that's good. We're just gonna have a robot break it all.
Although, so one of the things that stuck with me the most from the original movie, that when I finally saw it in the live action, I was like, yeah, was the hands that break apart into the little tiny like proboscis things to type
faster.
Like
that was creepy
like,
for
like,
me.
It was just
was
a
like,
quick
ugh.
Flash in
there
the live
were,
action.
There were a lot of beautiful homages to the original in visuals.
Well, the whole like. I guess third act kind of.
Yeah.
Was almost
straight from the last half hour of the movie.
The two guys in the dump truck.
Mm-hmm.
The spider robot thing's pretty
spider
iconic.
Robot.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that whole scene.
That everything in it
is really close.
Yeah.
Like it's not exact. It's not.
Well, all the way down to her losing one arm, and it being her left arm, and her lying down, like, so many of those little bits.
Well, just her
tearing
apart.
Lifting,
tearing
her arm. That whole thing is, like, shot for shot, the last half hour of the movie.
Yeah.
And even the what's his name, shooting the guy, getting her permission to shoot him, that again, like, you're going along, this is kind of the interpretation, they just hit the rails, they're like, well, we'll just coast the rest of this and make the same fucking movie. And I was giggling like a child. Like, it was like, this is beautiful.
I think at that point, that's what you want, right?
Yeah.
You're like waiting for those things. Like, that's one of the things I think the Power Ranger movie did really well, is if you watch a show, you see all these things, like, in there, and you're like, oh, cool, like, they're referencing these things, and da-da-da-da, and, like, that, if you're looking for anything from that movie, I think they did a decent job at doing that, at least in the last part, I assume. But, like, there's other parts, too. I mean, Bato's eyes.
Bato's eyes were amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, I'm pretty sure he just has those.
Yeah, you don't really see the origin.
The transition's kind of cool. Like,
but, oh yeah,
I thought that
was
another part.
No, once he had it, I was like, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, and they're perfect.
But then they glossed over, like, the whole, like, afterwards. Like, he's like, can't ever feed the dogs again. And like, I wanted to be like, what's happening with you? Like, your eyes have changed.
Yeah, but,
like
at the same time, like, they can't fit too much in there.
No, I know.
I want them to... The tricky thing for me is I want it to be successful so they do
more. You know what I want?
I want to see more of it.
I want a Netflix or HBO series.
Yes.
I wanted that in the first
place,
though, because now you've kind of blown it to me. Like, you can't... You have to actually start over. So you'd have to do what they did with, like, Dust from Dusk Till Dawn and Fargo, where you, like, retell the movie in the form of a series, which I thought they were doing was really cool with Fargo and Dust Till Dawn. It's like, you're like, oh, my God, there's so much more here that was cool, and... If they do that, great. If they just make a show off it, I'm sure that could be great, too. But I wanted to see, like, all that stuff, like a 13-hour movie on Netflix, like Daredevil. You know, like, I guess I'm spoiled because that's what we do nowadays, is, right? As,
I think
you know, grown adults
that
with Netflix.
Kind of thing would fit so much better
as
a TV show than it does as a movie. I like the movie, but it would have been much better.
So much more flexibility to explore the nuances, to go into the...
But it also costs a lot more, right?
Well, yeah, especially if you're doing something like that, where there's so much.
I mean, it's got to be on the equivalent with Game of Thrones at that point. Like,
more, it's got to be more.
No,
some of those
Game
CG
of Thrones,
work.
Some of the stuff they do in there is,
I know, but
nuts, and it's all. Like,
actually, a lot of Game of Thrones is CG.
Yeah,
it is, so. But I'm saying that the complexity of those scenes for the digital matte painting, basically, which is what a lot of it is, very little of Ghost in the Shell from the location. So much of that was all.
Really? You mean they don't have those, like,
all rendered, right? Like, it's all. There's so much rendering that goes into that. And a lot of the stuff for Game of Thrones is not as sophisticated to do. I think there's a lot more going on in Ghost in the Shell. I think that, basically, I mean, think about it. Game of Thrones has a lot of CG in it, but there's a lot of not CG. There's a lot of stretches where there's only minimal editing.
Yeah, but...
But every fucking scene, every frame has got to be touched up in Ghost in the Shell.
You wouldn't necessarily have to be in the show. In a show.
That's true.
You'd probably take the whole movie budget and spread it out.
Yeah,
and
I wonder if
the
that
casting
well.
Budget is a lot lower for Ghost in the Shell than Game of Thrones. Like,
casting, no, I think casting is the thing. I'm just saying
post-editing. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was talking total cost for like, the show.
It probably wouldn't look as pretty.
And that's...
God,
it was so pretty, though.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, but you'd probably get a lot more alleyways.
So let's get into that.
Nondescript.
So should people go see it? Should they wait for its number on DVD? Like,
I think it's worth seeing in a theater.
I definitely
think it's just too pretty.
If you have any interest, I would say go. If you're just like, then
if you're still a fan of cyberpunk visuals, you like that kind of culture and setting, you like Ghost in the Shell, and you want to see the like homages we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the reason to go
just
see
say,
it at full ticket price.
Be prepared for it to be lobotomized at worst.
It's not in 3D, right? Like, they haven't, there's
no...
I don't know. They started
3D real hard, and then they dropped off, and I'm not even sure movies are
going to
3D
I don't.
Anymore,
I will
so
never,
sure.
ever tell you to see a 3D version. Yeah. If I do, I'll specifically say out loud, it'll crap see the 3D version.
I am sad I did not see Dread in 3D.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that one is sweet in 3D.
Yeah. Like that,
my old roommate used to have a 3D TV, and that we'd watch that, like, once a month, like, just because of the glass scene with, like...
It did everything well.
So go see it.
I'd say go see
everyone.
Everyone?
Okay.
Yes.
Just be prepared for it to be the cyberpunk equivalent of turning Dark Tower into a run-and-gun western.
But if you haven't ever seen,
well,
if you don't know anything of Ghost in the Shell, it's still a really good action cyberpunk movie.
Yeah.
And it's satisfying to me to see her in the lead role being kick-ass and still having it be a compelling story.
That's actually a good point, because you're just talking about female leads. We totally glossed
it's,
over
it's
that.
It's huge. I mean, for me, I love Ghost in the... I love that Ghost in the Shell did that. And she's at the center. She's still got vulnerabilities, but she's still awesome. I mean, I think it was great. I was super happy
with it. Don't
expect
to be wowed by the story in any kind of thing.
No,
right?
it does...
I mean, like, you're not going to be surprised by anything. Honest.
Like, I would say that...
It's kind of... You know what's going
to
happen.
Like, if you're a big fan of the series... And you're willing to let go a little bit and let it not be the most compelling story, version of the story, you can Kyle it up and fix the story in your head afterwards.
I couldn't do that with this one.
No, you couldn't because you
didn't
have
any background. You're right.
Yeah.
But
I didn't load the gun.
I did Kyle it up because I could go there like, oh yeah, this is alluding to the thing about identity and self. And
now
everything.
I
want to
go
no,
watch
they
everything
fucking
else
at all,
and
all, but I made it work because I wanted it so bad.
No, okay,
so
yeah.
I Kyled it up.
Yeah, so if, yeah, so much like Superman, Batman vs. Superman, if you have a lot of reference, go Kyle it up.
I have one... Two things I quickly want to say.
Okay, that's,
I know
that's
we're
it.
Way over time, but
no,
I want to make this one. One, director speaking Japanese, best creative design decision ever. I love that he was so Japanese, he just spoke Japanese, and everyone just didn't acknowledge that.
He has one of the coolest lines in the entire movie.
What is it? Which one?
It's at the end when he's talking about don't send a rabbit to catch a fox.
Yeah, when he murders those four guys.
Oh my god, it's the
with
best
a revolver.
Ever.
That's crazy.
Oh god,
a
it's
shot
so
revolver,
good.
But that's possible. Fucking oh, Japanese people love fucking shitty Italian guns. I don't know why.
Is that the second point?
No, the last one was. That's the last time, or the first time I've seen someone smoke a cigarette in a movie in a long time.
Oh yeah, and it wasn't art.
Was it?
Wasn't art. This summer movie wasn't art.
Was
usually, you have to have art to have people smoking in a movie. Yeah. I thought that's what
PG-13?
The criteria was.
Yeah, no, but she's smoking smoked a cigarette. And I'm
it's
like,
a
you don't see that very much.
Mm-hmm. All right,
so
Sid Sock says, go see Ghost in a Shell.
Yes.
How do I turn it? Do
just
I,
press
give us
the
money.
Stop button.
Yeah, give us
no,
money.
No, just press the stop. Just
do I just press the button here?
Just hold